Well, we are in our series called You Asked For It. And I have solicited questions from the congregation to be answered either on the blog or online or from the pulpit. And I had a mishmash of a bunch of them that were kind of funny. I thought I'd bring out to you today. So, Pastor Mix, is there another word for synonym? I thought that was funny. Where do forest rangers go to get away from it all? Have you ever asked yourself that? I have. Why do you? What do you do if you see an endangered animal eating an endangered plant? That's a moral dilemma, isn't it? If a turtle loses his shell, is he just homeless or naked? That's a good question. All right. Why don't sheep shrink when it rains? I have this new wool. I have this new wool sweater. My wife and the sleeves are like out here. And she goes, "You need to wash it." I'm like, "Well, why don't the sheep do that?" Can vegetarians eat animal crackers? I've heard that one. If a police arrests a mime, does he still have the right to remain silent? There's a question for you. And why do you use sterile needles to give lethal injections? There's a question. I don't know. Why is there locks on the doors at 7-Eleven? They're open 24 hours. There's another one I can't seem to ask him. Why do kamikaze pilots in World War II wear helmets? That don't make sense. Okay. What's the other one? What's the difference between a Harley Davidson and a Hoover vacuum? The position of a dirt bag. Anyhow. Oh, I know. I want a Harley so bad. I want a Harley so bad. It's terrible. I do. I can do the work of the Lord in style. And you'd hear me. The devil would hear me coming. Boom, 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 boom. Wouldn't that be cool? Right? Today's question was given to me by someone young. And they said, "Pastor Mix, everybody goes to heaven, right? Everybody goes to heaven. Take your Bible, turn to the book of the Revelation, chapter 20. Chapter 20. It's all the way in the back of the book. If you didn't bring a Bible, it's okay. There's one in the pew rack right in front of you with a red book. Please grab one. Turn all the way to the back just before you get to the glossary and the index. You'll find Revelation chapter 20. And won't you stand with me, please, in respect of reading God's Word? Revelation chapter 20. We're going to start in verse number 4. I'll read the even numbers out loud. You'll read the odds. If you found Revelation 20, say amen.
Amen.
And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, and which not had worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And the death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, such trembling words, such terrible thoughts and notions, Father, of what is to come. We sing, we praise you, but Father, so many don't know you. God, we come today asking you to speak to every heart and every soul. If there's one here that needs to answer that question, who Jesus is, then Father, answer it boldly. But for us, your children, meet the needs, strengthen us, embolden us to do thy will in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Pastor Mix, everybody goes to heaven, right? Everybody does. How many of you have Disney World or Disneyland on your bucket list? Anybody? Anybody? Amen. Amen. We went to Disneyland. We saved our money for 3 years and we took the boys to Disney. Well, Disney World. I've been corrected twice already. We were in Florida because Disneyland's out on the left coast. But we were in the south. We were in the Disney World. And it was on my bucket list. And we had such a good time at Disney World and went to the parks and just, it was just wonderful. It was on my bucket list. I wanted to do this. I wanted to go. I wanted to make sure the kids got to go and we did. And as we were leaving, Levi said to me, he was very little, he said, I wish we could live here forever. There is a difference between visiting Disney World and actually living there. The Haunted Mansion ride at Disney World is one of the scariest places in the park, but not for the reasons you would expect. In 1994, the book called Mouse Tales by a former Disney employee, his name was David Koenig, he tells the story of a group of tourists that came and said that they requested a little extra time on the ride so they could hold a quick memorial for the 7-year-old boy that they had that had died. And Disney gave them permission, but it turns out the memorial was only half their plan. When the mourners were spotted sprinkling powdery substance off the doom buggies, the Haunted Mansion was quickly shut down and the child's remains were cleaned up. Amazingly, this is not the only incident of this. Many people call and ask, my child or my family would like to sprinkle their ashes at Disney World. That's where they'd like to be laid to rest. And the answer is always no, by the way, if you were wondering. The Disney park says no. I wish we could live there forever, Dad. Did you know Disney World is its own city? That the state of Florida gave it its own, it incorporated that area. It was so big. They have their own zip code. They have their own town council. They actually have the authority to open schools, create a criminal justice system, or even open a nuclear power plant. Of course, they haven't done that. But it is a city unto itself. But living at Disney World and visiting at Disney World are not the same things. There's only one thing that lives at Disney World, and that's roughly 200 feral cats. That's right. At night, when all of the sunburnt families go home and the exhausted employees go home, there's roughly 200 cats that come out of hiding and keep the mouse population, this is no joke, under control. And they do their... and they're that's how they make sure Mickey goes home at night. But that's the truth now. They have cats, and they let them live there. Now, they keep the population under control. They spay and neuter them when they catch them, and any kittens they find are immediately adopted out. But the only people who live, the only thing that lives at Disney World is cats. See, it's a different thing to live there versus visiting there. Pastor Mix, doesn't everybody go to heaven? I mean, right? Doesn't that what actually happens? Take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I mean, it's a beautiful sentiment. But how many of you have realized that life is not a Hallmark card? Amen. I mean, how many of you have been astounded by the truthfulness and accuracy of your fortune cookies? You are a wonderful person and something special is coming your way. That's not how life is. Something happens from that magical time when we're 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 and we visit Disney when we turn about 30 and realize that the only thing ahead of us is more work and bills. All of a sudden, reality takes effect. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 8. The Bible says, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. I want you to focus on verse 11. See, because Paul is saying, when the word of God is finished, right now we kind of look through a glass darkly, like looking through a foggy mirror. But right now, when the word of God is finished, we will see everything God wanted us to know. Verse 11, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then, when the word of God is finished, then shall I know even also, as also I am known. Reality sets in and you realize you can't live at Disney World. You can visit, but you can't live there. And reality sets in when you read the Bible. And people will argue with you and they'll say, well, that's not true. My grandma's in heaven. Everybody I know, they're all just there. I don't know if they are or not. It's not my job. I'm not the official sorter. Isn't that cool? It's not my job to sort people. But when you read the Bible, you realize a lot of these wonderful sentiments that we've held on to and comforted ourselves with as children and as young people aren't actually true. Doesn't everybody go to heaven, Pastor Mix? Doesn't everybody? Well, I think we've all kind of agreed to con ourselves that everybody goes to heaven. I mean, one of my kids' favorite movies as a child was Every Dog Goes to Heaven. Remember that? That was a great one. How many remembers Itchy? Itchy, the Basset Hound. Remember that? You remember that? Got some all dogs go to heaven denial going on in here right now. I can see it. Huh? I mean, when you have kids, you become a connoisseur of children's movies. And it's a wonderful sentiment that all dogs go to heaven. But doesn't everybody go to heaven, Pastor Mix? Well, we try to con ourselves that somehow everybody's just going to make it. And the truth is, the invitation is open to everybody. Just like Disney World. There's nobody turned away at Disney World. You can even look back. Oh, that the reason I'm not showing you the picture of me with the kids is because I was in a fanny pack phase back then. Anybody else? We're a fanny pack? Okay, he's honest, man. There's some fanny pack denial going on in here right now. Y'all have one somewhere in your closet. I just know it. Mine was black leather, though, so kind of made up for itself, right? Yeah. Anybody is welcome at Disney World. No matter where you come from, what no matter if you look bad in shorts or not. My legs, the reason I don't wear shorts very often is my legs are like bike reflectors. You know what I mean? They're just so neat and sun bad. So everybody's welcome. The invitation's open, but not everybody chooses to go. Heaven is the same way. The invitation is open to every human being that's ever lived, ever is living now, or ever will live in the future. It is open. The invitation is there. But not everybody's going to choose to decide to go. God's already chosen and said, I want everybody. Bring them all. But he's not going to put you in a headlock and drag you into heaven. See, for your yes to be yes, you have to have the equal ability to say no. For your love to say, I love you, God, for it to be real, for you not to be a Tickle Me Elmo doll or a robot that's pre-recorded, you have to have the equal ability to say, no, I don't. Doesn't everybody go to heaven, Pastor Mix? Well, in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4 and 5, I see a resurrection. Look at it. Revelation chapter 20. Verse 4 and 5, and I saw the thrones. Look at it. And it says, the last part of that verse says, look at it. It says, let's read it. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given of them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon his foreheads, their foreheads, or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. See, we have two resurrections. We have the resurrection of the saved. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Don't take my word for it. Let's read it out loud, or let's read it together. I'll read it out loud. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look what it says. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. For the Lord, did you find it? Look at it. Did you find it? Say amen. Look what it says. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Why do the dead rise first? Because they got 6 feet farther to go. Then we which are... You'll get that at lunch. Somebody's going to nudge you and think that's cute. Look at verse 17. For then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I see a resurrection here in Revelation 20. We have the resurrection of the saved. Those that have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about your mama's faith. I'm not talking about your grandma's faith. I'm not talking about, well, I've always been in church. No, it doesn't matter. For almost a year, we brought our puppy to church because we was afraid something had happened to him if we left him home. That didn't make him saved. If you meet my dog, you'll realize he's the devil incarnate. But the truth is, going to church is not what gets you to heaven. Well, I was raised in church. Well, I was baptized. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saves us. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 says. You don't work your way to heaven. You don't earn it. None of us can. We're all sinners. We're all dirty, rotten, fallen sinners. All of us. Me. I'm a sinner. But thank God the one I put my faith in isn't. See, when you put your faith and trust in you, you're putting your faith and trust in a sinner. You can't buy gold with garbage. You just can't. You gotta, I'm not going to heaven because I'm good, because I'm not. I'm terrible. I get to go to heaven because Jesus credited his righteousness to me because I asked him. And he saved me. I also see a resurrection of the lost. Look at Revelation 20 and verse 5. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. Look at Revelation 20 and verse 12 and 13. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Delivered up dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. See, your works are going to fall short. So I see a resurrection, but I also see a reunion. Look at Revelation 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. You know, if you've ever been in a courtroom, you find that the courtroom's divided, right? There's two sections to the courtroom. You've got this separation referred to as the bar. In the picture you're seeing now is from old England. And people, the magistrate would sit on that area in the back, and everybody that was just watching had to be behind the bar. And anybody that was going to approach the magistrate when it was his term had to come in front of the bar. Everybody was there. Everybody was in attendance. But only those in front of the bar were being dealt with by the magistrate. In today's courtroom, you see this same separation. The bar. At that bar, there are some very disturbing reunions between families and friends. The accused is brought into the courtroom and stands in front of the bar. Separated from his friends and family, they cannot embrace, they cannot speak, but they are separated. The incarcerated stands in their prison uniform. They cannot talk, they cannot touch each other. Those that will stand at the great white throne, the small and great, will be separated by a bar. And all those that have been in the first resurrection will stand behind that bar and watch as each accused is brought and is judged by their works. God is really good at record keeping. because I see now a reckoning. Somebody made a song recently, or actually it wasn't recently, it was a while ago. What? I think it was Eric Clapton did that, No Tears in Heaven. There's an old gospel song called There's No Tears in Heaven. That is a wonderful sentiment, but that's not reality. Well, I don't believe that. Well, in Romans, Revelation chapter 8 and verse 1, when God breaks the seal, heaven is silent at a gasp at what they're about to see. In Revelation 7 and verse 17, the Bible says, "For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them into the living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Revelation 21 and verse 4, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying." That means there was before he did this. Christians will weep at the judgment seat of Christ for not having done more for Jesus. The lost will weep at the great white throne. Christians will also weep at the great white throne because they are separated by the bar of those that are being reckoned by God. Look at Revelation 20 and verse 11 and 12. "And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." This is Jesus, our intercessor. Jesus, who knows us, now becomes Jesus the judge. How do you know that? Because in John 5:22, the Bible says that the Father has given all judgment unto the Son. So Jesus, the intercessor, takes the bench. Verse 12, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which was the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." They were judged. Do you know, Judgment Day starts, if you want to be a believer in Jesus Christ, if you're a Christian, the way your judgment starts here, by judging yourself a sinner. Do you understand? For years, I would look at the community and go, "I'm not a sinner like they are. I'm not a sinner like he is. I'm not as bad as that person." But on October 9th, 1990, I decided to agree with God and judge myself a sinner, and admit that God was right, that I'm worthless and I'm a sinner and there's no good in me at all, and that my righteousness is as filthy rags, Isaiah 64:6 says, and it's right. And I stopped trying to work my way to heaven. I realized I couldn't be good enough. And it was on that day I started my own reckoning. We call it self-judgment. And I called upon Jesus Christ to save my soul. Romans chapter 4 and verse 5, the Bible says, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness." We are finite. He is infinite. To pay for my crimes against an infinite holy God, I would have to suffer for eternity in a place called hell and then the lake of fire. But Jesus, the infinite, became an infant, lived a righteous life, died a vicarious death in my place, and was able to endure infinite punishment in a finite period of time for me, thus satisfying the infinite holiness of God. Have you ever seen somebody in a paper? They were arrested, they were tried, they were sentenced, but they were released on time served. Yeah, you know what that means? That means it took so long for them to, they were incarcerated between the arrest and arraignment all the way up through the trial, and they were released because of the time they'd spent in prison already satisfied it. Well, let me tell you something. When I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, my debt was paid in full. My records were expunged. Imagine going to traffic court with a citation, and the judge takes it, and you say, "Did you forgive me?" And he goes, "Yes." And he erases his name or your name, and he writes his name on the citation. And then he takes his perfect driving record, and he erases his name, and he writes yours in place of it. That's how salvation works. I didn't earn it. I didn't merit it. I didn't deserve it. But the righteousness of God was credited to my account. Romans chapter 3 and verse 22, if you're taking notes. I was released for time served by Jesus. For the saved, our reckoning has a second part in heaven. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. 2 Corinthians 5:10. The Bible says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." In 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verse number 15, listen to what the Bible says. Follow along if you can. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 13, the Bible says, "Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." A Christian, your reckoning starts here when you trusted Christ as your Savior. And then when you stand before Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ, your works will be judged and you will be rewarded, not punished. Do you understand? But for the lost, for those that did not plead guilty when convicted by the Holy Spirit, there is a reckoning in heaven. You've heard it. You've seen it on crime dramas and TV shows and things like that, and where somebody will plead guilty. And they're arraigned, then they plead guilty, and then they are sentenced and they're judged. They carry out their sentence. But for those who plead innocent, the prosecutor must then prove their guilt. Isn't that how it works? You are presumed innocent until proven guilty. For those that have never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, I can say wholeheartedly, yes, everybody gets to go to heaven, but not everybody gets to stay. Because as you are brought before the bar, the books are open. And Jesus the judge becomes the, Jesus the intercessor becomes your judge. What books are these, preacher? Well, the book of creation, Psalm 139. The book of remembrance, Malachi 3 and verse 16. The book of works, Ephesians 2 and verse 10. The book of the law, Joshua 1:8. But more importantly, the book of life. For every name in the book of life is the name of a human being who trusted Christ, who's had his righteousness applied to the debt of sin of each one of those sinners. They judged themselves a sinner. They pled guilty when standing here on this planet. They pled guilty to the crime of sin. And Christ switched and said, "All right, I'm going to give you my righteousness and I'm going to take the guilt and penalty for your suffering, your sin. Your sin comes to me. My righteousness is put upon you." See, in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16, I want you to understand, your works won't make it, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Jesus, or faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no man or no flesh be justified. They'll fall short. You will be proven guilty. You will be sentenced for your crimes. Do you understand? That's how it works. Does everybody get to go to heaven? Yeah. But not everybody gets to stay. It's a beautiful sentiment. Everybody goes to heaven. But it's not reality. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. For a believer who dies, he is ushered straight into the presence of Christ. The Bible says that in the book of Psalms that in the presence of Christ is a fullness of joy. See, Jesus didn't. I had a conversation with a man this week, 2 days ago. I went to his house and I talked to him and I said, "Listen, Jesus didn't come to condemn you. He came to save you. He knew what your need was. He knew who you are. He knows what you are, but he loves you." And the reality is, there will be a brief time when the lost, that the ones that are dead now, that are in hell, will be resurrected for a brief respite as they stand before the bar in heaven, Revelation 20, but then be cast into the lake of fire. For those that are lost today, physical life and or the rapture will shut the door to that heaven for them, because the decision has to be made here. You can't decide later. So take the plea deal. If you're not saved, take the plea deal. He's saying, "Plead guilty. Take my righteousness and I will pay for your sin." Walk out free. Walk out expunged. Walk out with Jesus' name on the record. be free from the power of the law, the penalty of the law, and the pain of the penitentiary. You see, because in Revelation 20, I see a resurrection. I see a reunion. I see a reckoning. But I also see a recessional, or a going away. Look at verse 14 of Revelation 20. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Yes, everyone will get to go to heaven at some point, like visiting Disneyland, but they're not going to get to stay. Matthew 22, verse 11 through 13 says, the angels come and bind them hand and foot and cast them out. And you and I will be the ones weeping as we watch. How do you know that, Pastor Mix? I'm really glad you asked. You're in Revelation 20. Look at Revelation 21. As soon as that's over with, as soon as that judgment's over, as soon as the gavel comes down, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and they shall be and be their God. And that sounds great. But look at verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall be there any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Those that are weeping, if you've ever been to a courtroom and you're not the one in front of the bar, somewhere in the crowd will be maybe the next case waiting, or maybe if you're in a high-profile case, you've got all these people from the press. But usually there's somebody with their face in a tissue weeping. Weeping. Why? They're not going to jail. Because the one they love is about to receive the punishment for their crimes. And they weep uncontrollably. They sob. And the tears stain their faces. That's you and I, by the way. Christian, you're like, whoo, man, I took the plea deal. I pled guilty. God saved my soul. Woo-hoo! Yes, but you and I will stand on this side of the bar. And it will be you and I that weep. It'll be you and I that watches the proceedings. You know what scares me? What scares me is that the person standing on the front of the bar between the judge and the bar will turn and see my face. I used to live next to you. Why didn't you tell me about Jesus? We worked together for 30 years. We were battle buddies. We walked through the same jungles and the same mess. And why didn't you say something? My kids played soccer with your kids. I know that person. They never told me. That's why you and I will be weeping on that side of the bar. That's why. Because we'll know. We'll remember. The Bible says we'll know even as we are known. We will have memory of everything and everyone. And you'll see that neighbor whose dog makes regular deposits in your yard. You'll see that person whose cat tore up your screen and you said nothing about Jesus. You'll see that bully who used to give your kids fits, but you didn't say anything about Jesus. You'll see people who will call you by name. And you will weep. And we will weep so uncontrollably, so terribly, that God Almighty Himself in His omnipotence will have to wipe away our tears to get it to stop. No tears in heaven, that's a great, makes for a great song. It's a great sentiment, but it's not real. Disneyland's a great place, but you can't live there. Heaven, many are going to visit, but only a few that believed on Christ before they died will get to stay. And those that stay will remember. They'll remember. I think everybody ought to have a bucket list. I think everybody ought to. I know Disney was one of mine. There was a man many years ago who was a very famous actor. His name was Jackie Gleason. He was on The Honeymooners, and I used to watch his reruns all the time. And he was a funny guy. He played on some other movies that I won't mention, but he was a funny, funny comedian. But just before he died, he was interviewed on 60 Minutes. I don't know if it was Diane Sawyer or one of the ladies there. And she said, his nickname was The Great One. And they said, sir, you truly are The Great One. You've done it all. Is there anything you'd like to do next? And he said, yes. I'd like to go to heaven before I die. Or I'd like to go to heaven when I die, excuse me. I'd like to go to heaven when I die. And that wasn't on script. And she's like, and he goes, well, what idiot wants to go the other place? 11 days later, he died. I met a preacher who watched that show and wrote him a letter. Don't know if he ever trusted Christ. Don't know if he ever. But you ought to make heaven the top of your bucket list. I want to go to heaven. You're not going to get there because you were good, because none of us are. There's none good, no, not one. You're not going to go to heaven because your mama was a Christian. You're not going to go to heaven because you visited church every day or every week while you was a child. Doesn't work that way. God doesn't have grandchildren. God don't have stepkids. You're either his or you're not. It's your faith. Amen. Christians, you're saved. You took the plea deal. Your record's expunged. You are now viewed by God Almighty as righteous through the righteousness of God. But this day is coming at you, and you can't avoid it, and you're the one that's going to weep. I'm the one that's going to weep. Have you told your neighbor about Jesus Christ? Have you told your family? The holidays are coming. And you're like, well, I don't want it to be awkward. I don't want to go home and it be awkward. How awkward do you think Revelation 20 verse 14 is going to be? How awkward? Well, you know, they go to church. I was saved when I was 23. I started witnessing to my parents, and my parents are like, you know, you just need to leave me alone. I got this covered. I got this. And I finally said, well, what is it you're putting your faith and trust in? And finally, they both said, I remember the day when I knelt and gave my heart to Jesus Christ. And you know what I said then? Why didn't you tell me? You don't think that's not going to happen at Revelation 20 and verse 14 when you're standing there behind the bar watching? We can avoid that if we'll just tell folks. Paul died, the apostle Paul died and said, my hands are clean from the blood of all men. That means he did not fail to witness to anybody. He witnessed every single soul he came in contact with. I shudder to think how many are in hell today because I forgot to tell, or I was too proud to tell, or I was too afraid to tell. And usually it's pride, because I'm afraid of what they'll think of me. They'll think I'm foolish as a Christian, or they'll think I'm some sort of spiritual bigot. You know, see, because it's all about me. Because if it was all about Jesus, I'd do more about it. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. It may not be comfortable conversation, but yeah, everyone's going to get to see heaven. But only a few are going to stay for eternity. Why don't we do something about it? Dear Heavenly Father, we love you, and we come to you today asking your forgiveness for our pride that keeps us from witnessing. Father, forgive us for allowing ourselves to be so unfocused on what's really important in life. And today, Father, burden us for those in our lives that don't know you. Father, that will one day stand before your Son in judgment. I ask God, please bring their mind, their face to our mind right now. Father, let each one of us determine now within our heart to share our faith, our testimony of what happened, how we got saved with them this year. Father, if there's one in this room right now that has never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, has never heard anything like this before, but Father, doesn't know you, burden their heart to come forward and to trust Jesus. We ask this in His name. Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. If you'd like to know for sure if you died and heaven's your home, you just need to step out and come. Let me take my Bible. I'll show you in my Bible where it talks about knowing Jesus.
I confess, bowing here, I find my rest.
Christians.
And without you, I fall apart. You're the one.
More are coming.
That guides. How about you? My heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you.
You think you're young. You think you have all the time in the world. Let me tell you something.
I need
the young die all the time.
My one defense. My right.
Death is no respecter. Death is not prejudice. He will take all. No matter how old, no matter how young, no matter how healthy. Won't you make today the day of salvation?
Your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are.
Christian.
And where you are.
Do you realize that day's coming?
Lord, I am free.
Have you witnessed? Have you told people about how you became a Christian? Just tell your story.
Is Christ.
That's all.
Me.
Won't you just ask God to give you the words to say? To invite
Lord,
people to church and to share your faith. Watch what He does. Won't you come?
Is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Teach my.
You know, I can't help but think about one of those last statements that preacher mentioned. Some of the reasons that hold us back from truly opening up to our friends, family, neighbors. It's not about us. It's about Him. You know, if we were told that we would be rewarded for going door to door and passing out things and trying to influence people to join a club or a membership, and we would get riches, we would get recognition, we'd have no trouble because we see the end. But telling people about Jesus gives us more than great riches, because that's nothing but pavement in heaven. If we realize it's not about us, but about Him, how much more would we go out and make sure that our friends, the people we care for, our family, know about Jesus Christ and His saving power, His forgiveness of sin, His eternal hope of salvation. How much sweeter could heaven be? It's not about us. It's about Him. Amen. Amen. The invitation is never closed. This altar is always open. And you can always reach Pastor or myself if you need someone to pray with or something to pray with you. And right now I hear Pastor getting ready to do a baptism. So if you guys can be seated for a moment as we get ready for a baptism. And then afterwards I'll have some announcements for you.